bargaining with God. Amen. We have started this journey with Abraham face to face, and this particular part of our lesson, amen, as we go through Genesis, looking at the life of Abraham. We have seen Abraham in different scenarios and in different situations. And the question I have for you today is, have you ever wanted something so bad that you have prayed for it and prayed for it and prayed for it, and yet it seems so far away? Now, when I say bargaining with God, I'm not saying that you're trying to somehow change God's mind. Amen. Because we already know whatever God allows, we accept. But I'm talking more so about praying his word and operating according to his will, and understanding that there is a particular timing in your life that's important to God, and it's important for you to understand that time in prayer is never wasted. Just because you didn't get an answer doesn't mean that God is not answering. Are you with me? I found out that people, they pray as long as they see something happening. But from the moment they don't see anything happening, they somehow give up on prayer. They give up on the idea of pursuing God. Now, where we find ourselves in this passage is Abram has caught on to something. I told you the last time I preached this passage that when God reveals things to you, God had already said, should we tell Abram what we are going to do? Abram picked up on it and realized that God is heading to Sodom to destroy it, because the outcry of sin had come into his hearing through somebody who was praying. Are you with me? And so let me say this. We already know, let me give you the fast version, that Lot and Abraham, or Abram at that time, had separated themselves. Lot moved away from Abram and he got himself closer to the world, and eventually he was living large in Sodom. Sodom was a place of sin beyond sin. It was a place where a lot of crime and homosexuality, and it was that bad that God had to come down to see for himself what was going on. Now, I'm trying to go somewhere with this. You know, it's easy to stay angry and upset with people who hurt you. Imagine that. It's easy to hold on to a grudge. It's easy to be closed off. It's easy to be bitter because of what people have done to you. Now, Abram and Lot had separated themselves. I don't think y'all getting it just yet. Abram and Lot had divided themselves, and Lot went on about his business. Lot could give two cracks about Abram. Lot could really care less about him, but it's amazing how Abram did not allow the adversity that happened between them to change him and cause him to forget that Lot was still a righteous man. Can I help you with something? There are believers. Amen. There are people who call themselves Christians, but they act like unbelievers. There are people who will hurt you in church. Come on, help me now. There are people, amen, who you used to probably pray with. People who read the Bible. People who come to church and parade around. And you're like, look at them. They think they all that. But let me help you with something. As long as a person has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as long as they've been saved, they are considered righteous. Are you with me? And here's the thing. Remember back in chapter 13, Lot was tripping. Remember in 14 what happened? Well, he left and then Abram rescued him. When he got caught, he became a POW. After that reunion, Lot said, I still don't want anything to do with you, uncle. I don't know what the deep problem was, the deeper issue. The text never tells us. But here's what I found out. I found out that, listen, you don't have to have a reason for people to hate you. You don't have to have a reason for people to dislike you. Here's the thing. Keep living for God. And you'll find out that people are going to dislike you just because you stand for what's right. Are y'all with me today? It's been a while now. Lot is living his life. He's minding his business. Watch this. He does not want anything to do with his uncle, Abraham, the one that brought him along for the journey. Oh, I wish I had a few people here who really understand what I'm trying to say to you. What I'm saying to you, just because people hurt you doesn't give you a right to stay angry at them. Just because people hurt you doesn't, watch this, it should never cause you, amen, to hold a grudge, bargaining with God. Now, the reason why I want you to see this is because Abram could have went on with his life. Abram could have been like, all right, go ahead and destroy that boy is down there. Guess what? He done cursed me out. He done treated me bad. I done rescued him before. You see where I'm going with this? Listen. I done did all this for him, and yet he still doesn't want to be in my presence. He still wanted to live on the top. That's his name, Lot. Living on top of the world. Amen. Now, God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for its sin. Now we see what Abraham does as he bargains with God for the righteous. Can I help you with something? Never say never. Can I help you with something? The very thing that you say you're not, eventually you could become that. And here's the thing. The righteousness was not given by works for Lot. It was given by faith. So what is this text teaching us? This text is teaching us that as long as a person has given their heart to Jesus Christ, yeah, we're not all perfect. We're not all going to get it right. Come on, somebody. You can be righteous and living in sin. You can be righteous and fall away from the Lord. You can be righteous and be wretched. Come on and help me, somebody. But stop by to tell you something. Amen. Listen, God still looks at the righteous. Here's the thing. It's faith alone in Christ alone. It's not how good I am. And I know you guys got a whole lot of buts, but you don't understand what they did. So what? Get over it. Because guess what? As long as you live this life, somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to let you down. But I thank God that if we learn how to respond, if we learn how to bargain with God, if we learn that, listen, it's easy to stay angry and upset, but it's the harder thing to do is to forgive and forget. I said the harder thing. But when you realize that the person that you are angry with belongs to God too, that they are righteous too, that you are not their judge. Come on, somebody. They may have hurt you, but you got to know that if they are righteous, you got to let them go. And so we find in our passage today, and what I see here in verse 23, it says, Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? See the question? You got to get in the text. You got to get in the text. See where I'm going now? What is righteous? What is righteousness? Anyways, positionally, this person now in God's eyes is seen as blameless. So what you see and what God sees is two different things. And what Abram was thinking about was his nephew. His nephew had hurt him. Come on, y'all. His nephew had disappointed him. His nephew had turned his back on him. But yet, he asked the question. He is bargaining with God on behalf of someone who hurt him. What a lesson. I believe some of us can be better off in life if we learn this lesson. Watch the text. The text says, watch what the text says. He says he knew, watch this. He says, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Now, the first thing I see that Abraham does in his bargaining with God is he intervenes. You see, can I say this to you? He knew what God was about to do. And what did he do? He stepped in as a spokesman for the righteous. You know what Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them. You're like, oh, no, they know what they're doing. They know exactly what, no, they don't know what they're doing. And watch this. Sometimes we put so much stock on a person simply because they're in church or they're coming to church. Or they're around the word and they're living righteously, but watch this, they still got work to do. And so no matter how hurt you may be, tell your neighbor, you may want to intervene. You may want to stop saying, this ain't my business. Amen. See, he knew what God was getting ready to do. Watch this. And here's the crazy thing about it. Watch this. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Yeah, come on, come on. Oh, man. Isn't that what Jesus did for you and I? Come on. Do you remember when? You want to play that game? Listen, do you remember when you wasn't all there also? Come on and help me. You know what I believe sometimes we do? Sometimes we put too much expectation on people who we assume is righteous. But at least we know what Lot was. He was a righteous man living in an unrighteous situation, and he had gotten comfortable in the world. Let me tell you something about the world. The world will pull you in. Your vices will hold you in a prison where it will keep you thinking, watch this, that you're doing right, but you're really doing wrong. In other words, Lot was calling right wrong and wrong right. He was living in a place where he had become so successful. He was at the city gates, the gates that I walked last week. He was standing there at the gate of Sodom, and guess what? He was approving what was happening, but yet he had forgotten the life he used to have with his uncle. He forgot that his uncle is the father of faith. He had made a choice that I ain't going back there. I don't want to be around him. Could it be that Abraham's righteousness was convicting to him, so he had to get out and go do his own thing? Why would you want to live in sin? Come on, help me now. When you feel conviction. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. You see, sometimes you don't understand that person that hurt you may need more intervention than you really know. Abram could have said, go on, God, go ahead. Yeah, you know, he says, Lord, Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Now let's look at the text, verse 24. Suppose there were 50. So verses 26, 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32, he starts off in verse 26. He said, what if there's 50 there that's righteous? Would you still wipe them out? He said, no. Verse 28, he said, what if there's 45 there? No, I won't wipe them out. What about 29? Verse 29, what about 40? Verse 30, he said, what about 30? Verse 31, he got down to what? 20, and then verse 32, he got down to the number of peoples, persons that he knew was living in Sodom. Come on, help me, somebody. In other words, the next thing he does is he intercedes. He intervenes, but this is different. When you intercede for someone, you got to be careful. First, you have to look at you. Look at your heart. Why are you, listen, until you and I rid ourselves of any ill will feelings that we may have, our prayers are going up and down. See, God is not going to hear your prayer if in your heart you are holding on to something for somebody. And can I help you with something? I thank God, amen, that no matter how many times I'm hurt, I've learned how to let go. I've learned something, because watch this. He says, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are there? Verse 25, God answers, far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated what? Alike. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? What is he doing? He's interceding. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you really intercede for somebody? And I ain't talking about people you like. I'm not talking, you know what I found out in the Holy Land? There's so much division. There's so many different religions and so many different people groups and so many people who are distracted. Some think they're righteous, some think they're overly righteous, some think they're holy, some think they're unholy. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to unify us under one umbrella. And I thank him today that as I looked at this passage, I said, man, what a man that he did not take his hurt personally. That he understood that Lot did not know what he was doing. That he was just like him. In other words, it's possible to be saved and fall. But positionally, you're still God's. And that's the thing that's different about this man. And what I have learned myself personally, never hold a grudge. I'm trying to help somebody. You want to be free today? Can I help you something? If you want to be free, you got to let it go. Are you with me? Watch this. Watch verse 26. Verse 26 says what? The Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will what? I will spare what? The whole place on their what? You know what that says? Let me just help you right quick. Do you not know that you being a Christian, being righteous, amen, it affects a lot of different things. Your job, the workplace. See, I don't believe we understand who we are. Listen, they may mistreat you at the job, but guess what? God has the final say. You ever notice no matter what they do to you, you still rise? Come on and help me, somebody. You ever notice no matter what the world may throw at you, you still level up. You still rise to the occasion because you are what? Righteous. The Bible says, touch not my anointed one. Do my prophet no harm. And I want to tell somebody something. You and I got to be real careful how we treat one another. Why? Because if you're righteous and I'm righteous, come on and help me, somebody. How can two righteous people trip on each other? But let me say this. Your prayers are not going higher than my prayers just because you don't get along with me, just because you don't agree with me. No, because we're both righteous. It just depends on who's going to pray with a pure heart. See, Lot had given up on prayer. Lot had given up on the Lord. Lot has said, man, I don't want nothing to do with church no more. I don't want nothing to do with the righteous. But what Lot didn't realize is once saved, always saved. And I thank God that he has some children who are obedient and disobedient. But it's not up to us to look down on them. What we should be doing is intervening, not looking the other way, but interceding. Intercession is the ability for you and I to talk to God on behalf of someone else. When was the last time you prayed for your enemies? When is the last time you prayed for those who despitefully use you? Watch this. Why didn't he just come out and ask God plainly what he wanted? See? He goes on in these verses. Verse 29, he spoke yet again and said, suppose 40 was found. And he says, I will not do it on the account of 40. Verse 30, then he said, oh, my Lord, do not be angry. You know, Lord, not to be angry. And I shall speak, suppose there's 30 found there. And he says, I will not do it on if I find what? 30 there. I'm trying to help somebody with something. Verse 31, he said, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 were found there. And he says, I will not destroy it on the account of 20. Then he said, oh, my Lord, do not be angry. And I shall speak only this once. Suppose. Come on, somebody. Why does he keep saying to God, suppose? Why was Abraham speaking to God like this? See, he loved Lot. See, I'm trying to show you what the text is not telling you. See, you think it's numbers. He knew exactly what he... Let me ask you something. When was the last time you intercede specifically? How does a person become an intercessor? A prayer warrior? I tell you how. By persevering in concern in prayer. Abraham had already given a striking picture of intercessory prayer, showing us just how we should consistently pray. Watch this. Struggling, wrestling for the souls of the righteous and wicked. See, his scenario there was him travailing in prayer. God, what if? God, what if? God, what if? God, suppose there's one righteous. Suppose there's somebody suppose they made a mistake. Suppose they didn't know what they were doing. Come on, somebody, and help me. See, here's the thing. We intercede. We only pray for people we like. But I'll stop by to tell you, you got to start praying for some people who did you wrong. You got to start praying for some people who you think, come on and help me, somebody, don't want nothing to do with you no more. And let me me tell you something. You will find out about the power of God. The power of prayer. I know it's an oxymoron. I know it seems like it's wrong. I know it don't seem right. But I thank God that his word shows us a man who could intercede. Who could intercede five times. Persistence is the key. The next thing I see is not only does he intervene, not only do I see his intercession, but I see his what? Persistence. He was not gripped by hate or hurt. He kept insisting, God, what if? What if, God? What if? And can I tell you something? God answered his prayer. Look at verse 32. He says, and then he said, oh my Lord, not to be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose what? 10 are found there. And he says, I will not. He got his answer. Can I ask you something? When was the last time you persisted till you got an answer? How many of you are asking God for something? How many of you right now, you need God to change some things in your situation, in your life right now? Can I ask you something? Have you really persisted? Have you really travailed? Have you really labored in prayer to find out how powerful God is? Can I help somebody with something? The text says, Abraham, as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed. Watch this now. And Abraham returned to his place. So I see he intervenes, he intercedes, he's persistent. But here's the thing. He is sure now that God will keep his. Can I tell you this? I realize the reason why we're not getting an answer to our prayers. Because we're not praying like we believe. He had assurance because of his persistence. The Lord departed, and listen, and when we pray, we must remember that God will answer. When we intercede, watch this, for the righteous. Stop looking at people who have fallen from the Lord as enemies and look at them as the what? Righteous. The Lord went on his way. And Abraham went home. Abraham had persevered in prayer until the end. Watch this. He had done all that he could for Lot. He had rescued Lot. He had protected Lot. He had given Lot the good stuff. And all he kept receiving from Lot was a slap in the face. But yet, the love of God flooded the heart of Abraham. Can I help somebody with something? I will not allow anybody. I'm going to say it one more time. Anybody to cause me to start hating anybody. To start disliking anybody because they have an opinion. Because let me say this to you. As long as I realize, watch this, that they are righteous as well as I am righteous, I can pray for them, and I got an example now as to what to do when people do me wrong. And if they keep doing you wrong, you keep praying for them because they are righteous just like you are righteous. And I stop by to tell you that you got to realize that the more you pray, the more you change. to understanding what righteousness really is. Righteousness means I can live right. Righteousness does not mean I'm right all the time, but positionally, in God's eyes, I am his child. Do I have anybody here this morning who understand what I'm talking about? That you are his child. And no matter how much life may hurt, no matter what people may do to you, you got to hold on to the very thing that God has given you. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I went way across the world to another country, and I never felt so out of place because of the color of my skin. But I thank God that I knew who I was. I know the man that they deny is the man that I believe in. His name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. Hung on a cross. Yeah. Can I help you with something? It doesn't matter where you're from, but it does matter where you're going. And it does matter what you believe. I thank God I got a new good look. I got new lenses. I look at the righteous. I look at people in church that has hurt me. Folk that turned their backs on me. But I still love them. Why? Because they are righteous as I am righteous. And what I do is I keep praying, God, change their hearts. God, change their mind. God, change their hearts. God, change their mind. Prayer is the key that unlocks the door. Thank God that Abram did not become a product of hate. What he received, he did not allow it to affect his life. He prayed for Lot. He interceded for Lot. He believed, and so he was able to go home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way out of no way. Thank God that I will not be ruined by the people that hurt me. I promise you, that's the lesson. That's the lesson. You see, the concept of prayer is closely related to a sheepdog. The sheepdog who helps the shepherd to round up the sheep is always trained to come back to the master's feet. Sheepdogs are some of the most trained dogs in the world. They learn to round up the sheep and keep them in a fold. In other words, to box them in, run in the corners, corner them down. Then the dog comes right back to the master's feet. Ah. Prayer causes you to run back to the master's feet. Listen, some of you are trying to work things out on your own. You're so caught up in your hurt, in your disappointments, and all this other stuff that you've forgotten the greatest weapon you have. The greatest weapon you have is prayer. After you've ran down and cornered down your problems and they're still there, you got to run back to the master's feet. And